Okay, now I hear a couple of you going, oh no. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know, that's one of the beautiful things about our Lord and Savior. He says, I am not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to ever leave you alone. Why? I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who's our comforter. And it's his job to teach us all things. So this morning, I ain't going to teach you anything. Don't have to worry about that. I ain't going to teach you a thing. That's the Holy Spirit's job to teach you. All I'm going to do is just pass on information. And I just ask and pray that you'll open up your hearts and your minds to the scriptures, to the Word of God, and allow it. I want you to chew on it this morning, because this is the bread of life. To chew on it this morning. Feed your spirit man this morning, and allow this word to come alive inside of you to this day. That's my hope for you this morning. So, with that being said, I have a couple preliminary things. Man, hard to speak this morning. Sam already says, brother, you look tired. I says, yeah. You know, that's what happens when you got a couple acres and you only got a little push mower on it. Yeah, that's what'll happen. So we're in the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. So who's been talking to us? Well, Matthew's been narrating to us. And then Jesus is coming in. And for those of you who see the red in there, we know that's when Jesus is talking. So basically, Matthew's been narrating to us, and Jesus has been talking in there. And where are they at right now? They're in Capernaum. Actually, they just got back. I think our gentleman last week, he says, at the end, they went to the other side in the boat. And, you know, Jesus walked out there, and they were all, what, Jesus out here? Yeah, Jesus out there walking on water. And now they just got back to Capernaum, and they just landed. And now they're starting to walk, leaving the docks, if you will, walking through the streets. So that's where we're at right now in Matthew chapter number 9. All right? So let's start reading in verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage, we know it as an issue of blood here, for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will get well. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. At once, the woman was made well. When Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he says, leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep. And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. This news spread throughout all the land. As Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all that land. And as they were going out, a mute, a demon-possessed man was brought to him. After the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed and were saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees were saying, "He cast out the demons by the ruler of the demons." Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, for your word is true. Your word fails not. It is the bread of life that we come to this morning, Heavenly Father, to chew on, to eat, to partake of, to feed of the Spirit, man, the Holy Spirit that is within us. So we call upon you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us, each and every one of us, and teach what these words of life mean for each of us. Bless this word, because it is your word, Heavenly Father. We just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is getting off the boat, and he's walking through town, and we already know it previously. He's walking by, and he's walking by the tax collector's booth, and he looks in there and says, "Matthew, come follow me." Matthew gets up and follows him. I mean, this is all the scriptures are telling us. There's nothing else in there. That's what Matthew did. And then Matthew goes, hey, come to my house for supper. It might have been for lunch, but for a meal. Let's put it that way. Let's go eat. So he's sitting in there, and he's calling all of his friends. I mean, think about this. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're filled with the Spirit of God, you get so excited, you want to tell all your friends, didn't you? Or am I only just preaching to myself this morning? Help me out here now. Yeah, so you're saying, "Hey, come on over. Hey, I'm going to have a barbecue." Yeah, guess what? Whether you're a friend or not, you hear, "Hey, free barbecue, I'm there." Okay? Yeah. Especially if it was a Texas barbecue. We don't know if it was that or not. I'm sorry. I spent way too many years down in Texas. But then the Jewish leaders, you know what happened to them? They got jealous. "Jesus, why are you eating in there with all them sinners?" Jesus is like, "Why not? If you're whole, you don't need a physician. These guys need a physician. And I'm the great physician. That's why I'm here." So setting the stage, seeing what is happening here. Now, when Pastor Mike and I were talking, I asked this question. I says, "Now, were these Pharisees, were they in the house? Or were they outside the house looking through the window? I mean, how did they know he was sitting in there eating with sinners?" And then they're asking his disciples, "Why is Jesus eating with sinners?" I mean, isn't that a logical question that should come to mind? We don't know if they were in the house or not. But Jewish customs would say, no, they couldn't go in. So somehow they must have called, looked through the window, says, "Hey, come here, and asked them, I guess, because we have no other information than that. But that does get one to thinking, though. It does me, anyhow. And so all this has taken place. Then, in verse 18, the synagogue official shows up. He had to go in the house to talk to Jesus, which is a no-no. But since the Pharisees were there, I guess, you know, he's going to slip in because he was a synagogue official. He wasn't a Pharisee. He was probably an administrator of some kind in the synagogue. And he asked Jesus one simple thing. He just says, hey, here Matthew says, she died. All you have to do is touch her. Think about that. Think about the things that you struggle with life. What do we ask God to do? God, just touch me. I'm sick. Just touch me. Here's synagogue fish. All you have to do, Jesus, is touch her. Now, earlier, and he probably did not know about the centurion, because the centurion says, hey, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. You just send your word, and my servant will be healed. Okay? Wow. What faith. What faith it takes. Just touch my daughter. Just send your word. I want you to know that it takes faith. Faith is the active ingredient in the kingdom. It is. Without faith, we're what? Dead. It says that. Faith without works is dead. So you need the works with your faith. And these wonderful things happen, don't they? So here's Jesus saying, okay, let's go. I don't know about you. Man, but when I get to a party and they pull me away from a party, I'm going, what? No, I don't want to go. I want to stick here and enjoy this. But Jesus says, I'll come. So now he gets up. He leaves. He's walking with this synagogue official on his way. Now, just put your finger there. Now flip over to Mark chapter number 5. Because Matthew has a way of, he put the concise or the condensed version here. Because you're going, well, she'd already been dead. But here in Mark chapter number 5, verse 21 through 43, it says, when Jesus has crossed over again in the boat into the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came in to the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and says, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see this woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, being aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And while he's still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, because you're wondering where I was going to go with this, saying, your daughter has died. But trouble the teacher no more. But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer. Only believe. And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to him, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him, but putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, my pronunciation is going to be strange here. "Talitha cum," which translated means "little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up, began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and he said that everything should be given her to eat. Now, there's more information here. You might be asking, well, why is Matthew's, it's real similar, but yet different? Well, number one, it's concise. All right? And you also have to see, where's Matthew's perspective? The author, has just been asked by Jesus to follow him. So it's easy for him to say, "Hey, we went to Matthew's house to have a feast." He's seeing this. And just think about this. Everything is brand new, right? You just accepted Jesus, the Messiah, the teacher, the rabbi, says to follow him. Guess what your eyeballs are? As big as saucers. You're trying to take everything in. This is wow. I mean, think about the first time you landed that new job and you went to that new job, that first day. Man, your eyes are so big. Man, you're trying to take everything in, and at the end of the day, you know, if you're married, your spouse goes, "Well, how's your first day?" You're going, "I don't know. I guess great." Because you reflect back, you can't hardly remember anything. Because why? Because you're trying to take everything in, but none of it's sticking yet. And so here's Matthew. He's following, man, I got the Messiah here, wanted me to follow him. So he's taking it all in. And at the end of the day, he's going, "Okay, now really, what happened?" Well, synagogue official came, and Jesus left with him. And on the way, this woman with an issue of blood got healed, and then he got there, and the little girl got healed. Why? Because it was so much. That's one reason why it's kind of concise here. So now Mark fills it in. Now Mark was not there. He was not one of those 12. He heard the stories from the other disciples. And so he wrote about it, he and Luke both. That's why Luke's is real similar. But now think about the title here is Faith in Christ. Faith, everything he's talking about here. He's walking down there in a crowd to Jairus' house. Man, everyone's around him. And this lady, she says in her heart, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment." Now, in Jewish tradition, Jewish people were supposed to wear, it's kind of like a square shirt. Ours are kind of rounded. Theirs came down and had four corners. And attached to each of the corners was a tassel. It's called a tzitzi. Now, Numbers chapter number 15, if you will. If you want to turn over there, Numbers chapter number 15, verse 37 says, "The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations. And they shall put on the tassels of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes. After which you played the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God." Okay? These tzitzis, that's what tassels are, they're hanging from Jesus because Jesus was a good Jew, right? So he'd be wearing an outfit that had these tassels. Now, if you were a Pharisee, your tzitzit was going to hang all the way to the ground. Why? Because they thought themselves as the most righteous, holiest people ever. So they made them long so everyone can see that they follow all 613 laws. I have a hard time following a couple of laws, but 613? I don't know how many laws I broke just driving over here this morning. I was only 4 miles. I get on 85 here. From 86, I'm going, I look down, oh, 70 miles an hour. Oh, okay. I didn't know my truck could go that fast this quick. Yeah. So I already broke one of the commandments and one of the laws. You see, it doesn't take long when you got a lot of laws. It's easy to break. But that's what they did. But those tassels, those tzitzis were there to remind them you're supposed to meditate on the laws day and night. In fact, us as fathers, we're commanded to teach our children all of the commandments. Not just teach them like thou shalt not kill, but everything about them. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. Okay, good. I love God. Is that it? No, how do you love God? With all your heart. How do you show God that you love him? Come on now. You show God that you love him by keeping his word, right? That requires faith, believing in his word. When God sees your faith, guess what? He says, hey, devil, look at my servant Job over here. Look at him. Yeah. Why? Because Job was meditating on it, on those laws, and applying them. God can get proud of each and every one of us. Not pride, but he's proud in the fact that by faith. And how do we show God that we have faith in his word and his scriptures? Is by doing them. And as we as fathers are to teach our children not what they are, but we have to also start teaching them how to apply them. This is how faith is going to look like. These are some of the works you can do to show God that you have faith in him. Why is faith so important? So Jairus knows about faith, but he believes that the Messiah, Jesus, all you have to do is come and touch my daughter. She will be healed. But on the way, they find out that she's dead. And what does Jesus tell her? Just believe. Everything's going to be all right. Just believe. And I'll tell you. That ain't easy, is it? That's hard. What? My child just died, and now I have to believe that because you tell me everything's going to be all right? Yes. Ooh, that's hard. Think about you as parents when your children are sick, when they're really sick. Some of you, you know, your children, grandchildren, man, be sent to the hospital, have to be in hospital for a while. My youngest son, Andrew, he'll be here next month. When he was born, we got to take him home, and he was like home maybe a day. We had to take him back to the hospital. He ended up in NICU for a few days. What? We're going, Lord, what's happening? You know, we have to believe that God is in control, that God is a just God, God is a loving God, that he is a God that never leaves you nor forsakes you, that he's given you his Holy Spirit to teach you all things according to John chapter 14. Ooh. So here's Jesus saying, just chill out. And then he's walking in this crowd and somebody just touches the tzitzit. And it's not the act of just touching it, because they were saying people were all touching him. But he felt power. Power. He feels power leaving his body. He goes, who touched me? Man, you know everyone's like, what, what? No, no. My Lord, Jesus, look at all these people crowding you. No, I felt the power leave my body. Yeah, see, Jesus can feel it when you reach out in faith to be touched by the Master. So here it is. She goes, woman with issue of blood. Sorry, Lord. Forgive me. It's your faith that has healed you. See, Jesus is never sorry for healing any of you. It requires faith for the healing to take place. You also have to understand Jewish culture. She, with an issue of blood, she is unclean. She should not have been there. And if she was, she'd have to wear certain outfits saying, unclean, unclean, so everyone can depart away from her. She didn't say a thing because she had so much faith. She was scared, but she had faith. If I just touch it. That's the kind of faith. That's the kind of faith I want to get to. I'm not there yet, people. But I want to get there. I want to be able just to touch the hem of his garment. Be healed. And then he continues to Jairus' house. Now, it says that they're making all these flutes and everything else. Jewish culture says that when somebody dies, you must hire a minimum of 2 flute players and a wailer. Somebody wailing. A minimum. So if you're poor, you have to hire a minimum of 2 flute players and somebody wailing. If you got more money, more flute players, more people there wailing. Okay? And Jairus was a synagogue official. Well, you know, he was not poor. Okay? And so they were in there wailing. Ah! And the flutes are playing and everything else. And yeah, no wonder it's a ruckus and a commotion when he gets there. No wonder Jesus saying, guys, get out of here. She's just asleep. And just think, they don't know about Jesus' resurrection power, that he can raise the dead. They think that's crazy talk. Because they've already prepared the body. They probably already washed it. Sitting in there. Jesus says, no, get out. But he also brings in, what was that? Peter, James, and John. His inner core. He had his core, his 12. Then he had his inner core. Come on, guys. See what God's going to do now. All he does is touch your hand. And she rises up and she walks out. No recovery time. She just gets up and walks out. And yeah, what do you think all those people, the flute players and everyone else? Huh? Yeah, because the Master touched the little girl. Awesome. So then, you would think, okay, man, that's a day's work. Jesus is now walking on home. We don't know if he's walking back to, we want to say his home, which is he's staying with Peter and Peter's family. We don't know if we went to his or if he went back to Matthew's. Because on the way back to the house, that's all it says, 2 blind men. Son of David! Have mercy upon us. The Son of David is a very important thing to say because that meant you are the Messiah. Jesus is going, come on here, guys. I'm going inside. And they followed by faith. They followed him in. And what Jesus says, do you believe? Then I can do this? Yes, we believe. Then so be it because of your faith. Understand it. It's not that they had great faith. They just had faith. What was the parable? If you had faith the size of a... so you guys know it. You ever seen a mustard seed, man? It's a little itty-bitty, little teeny tiny little thing. That's all the faith you need to move what? Mountains. Man, if all I need is just that little bit of faith to move mountains, then those blind men just needed a little bit of faith. And because of that faith, they were healed. It's not because they had great faith. It doesn't say great faith in there, does it? Just said they had faith. Because of your faith. Didn't say they had little faith or any size of faith. Because the size of faith doesn't matter. What matters is they had faith. That's all it takes. In your life, be thinking about the things that's going on. And you would want to have God to intervene on. Just takes a little bit of faith. And that's all those blind men had. A little bit of faith. Now you got to understand, Jesus is in there. He says, okay, after he healed him, he says, okay, tell you what, guys. When you leave here, don't tell anybody. Sure, Jesus. Yeah, right. You know the first thing they're going to do. They're going to tell all of their loved ones, all of their friends, and anybody who can hear them. Jesus touched me and healed me. I am whole. One of the reasons the writers, the commentators, said that Jesus told them not to is because they said, Son of David, representing he as the Messiah, he was not yet to reveal himself fully as the Messiah yet. That's why he's saying, just chill out here. But Jesus knows what's going to happen. You and I know what's going to happen. You know? Just like a student will come up, Mr. Hartmiller, how'd I do on that test? Well, I don't know. Let me look here. Well, I think you passed. Woo, they go running out there. And I hear them going down the hall, yes, I passed. And they're telling all their friends. Yeah, that's what happens. When something happens to us that brings us joy, we want to tell everybody. And that's what these two blind men did. But now, Jesus' day isn't done yet. Now, you would already think, man, this is a full day already, right? No. It goes down here. In Matthew 9, 32 and 34, it says, and as they were going out, a mute. So, as the blind men are leaving, people are bringing in a mute. Demon-possessed man was brought to him. After the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed and were saying, nothing like this has ever happened in Israel. Well, that's a true statement. And I know some of you are thinking back, well, didn't Jesus meet the two demon-possessed people after he got off the boat, but he was on the other side of the lake? Yeah, it wasn't necessarily Israel over there. And when those demons saw him, they come up and they says, would you come to torture us before our time, Jesus? And then he said, can we go in the pigs? And the only word Jesus spoke the whole time was, go. But you see, that wasn't done in Israel. They had to get on the boat to go back across to get into Israel. I don't think Jesus he's like, get out of him. I know Jesus is probably getting a little tired by now. He hadn't had his afternoon nap. You interrupted his barbecue. Okay. And then he had all these wild, crazy people wailing and thinking somebody's dead. And then he's already felt the power of God go out of him one time. Not just once, twice, because then he healed the blind man. Don't you think Jesus is getting a little tired? No. And they bring him. He was not only demon-possessed, but he was also mute, couldn't speak. So now all he had to do is he cast out the demon, and then guess what happened? He spoke. We got a couple other educators in here, and educators are little kids, and parents, you've all had little kids. When kids are born, can they speak? No. They can wail. And it's only for three things, right? They want to eat, sleep, and then, yeah. That's what my youngest granddaughter does right now. But think about this. He spoke. We don't know if he had ever spoken earlier or not in his life. We don't have that information. So he might have been able to speak and then became demon-possessed and became mute. We don't know. But any of you that have ever had a tube down your mouth, your throat, for whatever reason, and they finally pull it out, are you speaking really clearly yet? No. But this man, they could understand. Look, he spoke. Look. Jesus knows exactly what you need, knows exactly what I need. And now this guy can speak. I'm telling you what, Jesus can't hide. I mean, think about somebody who is being followed 24/7. Who's following Jesus? The Pharisees. They want to know, where is he going? Oh, he's going into a tax collector house, man. Oh, he's on his way over here. And on the way, he heals a woman with an issue of blood. Oh, and then he gets to their house. Well, the girl's dead. Now she's healed. What? And now he's following them in, and he's saying, Son of David. And Jesus is like, oh, guys, let's get in here. Let's get out of here. And then they come out healed. And then they bring a demon-possessed man. Now he's healed. My goodness. Jesus had a busy day, didn't he? So now, think about where he's at here, this busy day. Yeah, I'll finally get to page 2 here. Verses 35 through 38. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." You see, after the demons got cast out, the guy could speak. Now he had rest. He could sleep the night, and then he's up, and he's back to business, going to cities and villages, moving. He's constantly on the go. Now, the interesting thing I see here, and a lot of the commentators say this too, verse 36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. You would think if they were a good Jew, I mean, they're into the synagogue, right? And you have all the Pharisees in there, right? Then why should they be dispirited? Should not the Pharisees know what they're talking about? You would think the religious leaders should know what they're talking about. But as we've been studying here through the book of Matthew, we find that Jesus was a man that had authority unlike anybody else. He spoke like nobody else. The Pharisees, the scribes, could only, like in the third presence, third tense, you know, talk, well, you know, the Messiah, he will be coming and we should do stuff like this and maybe like this. Didn't have Jesus, they didn't have Jesus in their life because Jesus came with the authority to remove them from being dispirited, being downtrodden, feeling like there's no hope. That's what dispirited is, right? Now, this is rhetorical. Have you ever felt like you're at the end of your rope? Man, I don't know what to do. I have absolutely, positively, have no idea. You're dispirited. But you see, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we let those thoughts, they go in one ear and out the other. Why? Because our King, our Redeemer, our Messiah, which is Christ, is with us. He lives within us. And all we have to do is say, Lord, show me the way. Now, I don't know about you. I can only speak for me. I've been in that situation numerous times. Lord, I don't know what to do. I feel wore out, Jesus. I feel like giving up. Now, I'm going to tell you how Jesus speaks to me. And he may speak to you differently. Jesus comes along, smacks me upside the head and said, boy, get up. I gave you the Holy Spirit. Start praying. Humble yourselves and pray and seek his face. Oh, see, that's how he speaks to me. I don't know how he speaks to you. But you see, he speaks with such authority, it knocks my body right down to my knees. The tears start to flow from my face. I just, Holy Spirit, teach me, show me. Does not take long before scriptures starts coming into my mind. Okay. I get out my sword. I start looking them up. Oh, wow. Yes, you did say that. Awesome. Another one. Next thing I know is I'm being fed with the bread of life. I am not thirsty spiritually no more. I am not spiritually hurt no more. And now I have a game plan of how to go forward. Because Jesus is saying right here, he had compassion on the people because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. But who's my shepherd? The good shepherd, Jesus. That's who I turn to. I would encourage each and every one of you, that's who you turn to. Lord, I don't know what we're going to do, man. I don't have no rain. Am I going to have enough grass for my cows? I don't have enough moisture for my corn to grow. Man, I mean, some of you need water for your hay. You're in the hay business. You're in the cow business. You're in the grain business. You need moisture. Okay? I get it. My answer to you, humble yourselves and pray. Seek the face of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to do. I have no other answer but that, because that's what I have to do. And my problems is different than yours, and your problems are different than mine. But we serve the same God who loves us, who cares for us, who comforts us, who fills us with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. See, the fires that I've had to travel through, that's what I've had to do. And I come out. So I would encourage you, lean on your good shepherd. Now, these last two verses are going to lead into Pastor Mike's next week. So I'm going to say, be here for that. Because now the disciples, this is awesome. Disciples now, instead of just being able to watch, guess what they have to do? They have to become doers and not hearers only. So it's going to be exciting next week.